Welcome back to the Mom Mentality Show at Agile DC, and we're your hosts. I'm Austin Chadwick. This is Chris Lucian, and today we're very excited to have Jason Kearney with us.
Hey.
And kind of kick us off, Jason, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a programmer, a father, and a technical coach. I really love bringing humanity into the workplace and really focusing on getting teams that work well together, getting people working very technically well, as well as socially well.
Awesome. Yeah, and I've had several interactions with Jason, and every time it's been a humongous pleasure. You know, you can really, what he said about the humanity, you can really sense that, you can sense the technical excellence and kind of interpersonal excellence, and it's been a pleasure every time, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
So today, you guys, you and Zach Boniker are giving a talk today at Agile DC. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what that's going to be about?
Yeah, so it's called Prosperous Metrics. It's on the, you know, evil word of metrics in the Agile community. And this came out of a conversation he and I were having where, look, metrics are just used badly in our industry. There's a lot of bad practices and things that come out of metrics because, you know, the whole thing that once a metric becomes a target, it becomes useless. And we start talking about this and digging into it. When metrics become targets, it's usually because people are choosing the wrong type of metric. Right? So what we talk about is measuring up. If you're measuring people, teams, even projects, it's too small. Right? You need to look at the whole system that is required for the application or the whatever you're trying to do or the company. Right? And measure, find a measurement that talks to the whole system. And so these are big, huge metrics that have the characteristic that they're kind of laggy. So you'd put input into the system, it might take 3 to 6 months before you start seeing changes to the system to know if you're, and that makes it really hard to A, gain, and B, make decisions, right? And so that's the second part's really hard because if you're talking about a really laggy metric, making decisions with that metric is just about useless. So then what we talk about are a second type of metric. And these are the metrics that most people try to hit and end up becoming gamified. They're called improvement metrics. And that is the biggest thing you have to worry about with improvement metrics is they're easy to game, right? Because you're making decisions with them. So what we say is that there are at least two reasons why an improvement metric expires. And once it expires, the really key thing is you throw it away, you get rid of it. The first is if it's ever gamed, it's expired. Move on. The second is, depending on the metric, it'll have just a natural expiry. You know, for instance, if you're trying to say your global metric is about quality and you're trying to really understand quality in some fashion, and so you know, a lot of people use like code coverage to help guide quality. A lot of companies use code coverage as the quality metric, which is bad. It's gameable. It's very small. It's very, you know. And so it becomes a pretty good improvement metric, though, because it has a point where you're going to stop caring about code coverage, and you can throw it away at that point.
Yeah. Don't hold on to it forever. I was working with somebody in a previous job, and they had a requirement to get 100% of code coverage. And so what they did is they wrote a script that went to every line of the code and exercised that line inside a unit test and then always passed it. And so in about a day, he went from zero coverage to 100% coverage. And that was kind of why it was so funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you were telling me about the format a little bit of your talk today, and I thought that sounded really interesting. So do you want to get into that a little bit?
Definitely. So Zach and I come from different parts of the system, right?
Yeah.
He's really into transformation. He's really into the business side of it. I've been really focused on the tech and the programming practice side, right? And so what we thought would be fun is we're going to host a debate. There are three sections to the debate, three different questions that are going to be asked by a executive.
Yeah.
And but we decided that just having us talk wasn't as interesting.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to give the audience a chance at each of their tables, like 3 minutes. Each table has to come up with one metric they would use to solve the problem. And then we're going to have that entered into a digital tool. We're going to see it. And then we're going to open the debate. And each of us gets 5 minutes. And if it sacks 5 minutes, I can guarantee he's wrong.
Very good, very good.
No,
yeah, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to get 5 minutes to debate it. When the debate part is over, we're going to kind of take all the points of view, mm-hmm. the stuff that came from the audience, the stuff that we've provided, bring them together and talk about what's the core principle that we're really talking about. Why did the two metrics that we've chosen work? And you know what you can use to choose your own metrics if your context is different.
Yeah.
And then the very final bit, the audience is going to get 2 minutes per section mm-hmm. where they're allowed to make not questions. Mm-hmm. They need to make statements. They can either tell us what we're wrong, what we've forgotten, what we've overlooked.
Yeah, interesting. That'll be a lot of fun, and I hope to catch the talk as well. So that'll be really good. Kind of moving to a different subject while we have you here. When I worked with you, Jason, I think one of the number one things that I noticed, and a lot of people noticed, that is during onboarding of a new developer, you put a lot of care and attention into how that person was onboarded. You organized groups of people together to change the process of onboarding, and this is a time where we were scaling a lot, and so I think that you know, as far as like a culture shift for a number of new people coming from all sorts of different companies and coming into the company, I think you were a crucial key team member in ensuring that we onboarded people properly, I guess. And so I just wanted to ask you, while we have you on the show, what are the things that you strongly believe about in onboarding and maybe even in scaling up a team, that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, I've had so many bad experiences in my life. I really have. It's really sad. You get into a new company and you're just alone.
Yeah.
And you feel alone. You don't feel like you belong. You don't feel like, you know, you don't know where to go. You're intimidated. You're entering someone else's code, and you don't know what rules apply there that are not stated. Mm-hmm. You don't know whose feelings you're going to hurt if you change something. You don't even know necessarily what the code does, and you need to go ask somebody, and you don't know if you're going to ask somebody, you're going to disturb what they're doing, you're going to slow them down, you're going to make them mad. And these are really bad situations that just happen, right? And they're hard on people. And so in my career, I've looked everything that bad that's ever happened to me and said, I've never wanted to give that to someone else. Mm-hmm. Never. And so with onboarding, I look at it as, this is someone we're welcoming in. We really want to welcome them. We want to work with them. We want to keep them in the company as long as possible. Because otherwise, we've just wasted a lot of effort in bringing this person here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
And so what are the things that cause these feelings? Well, a lot of this is just simply caused because there's no one there specifically to guide them, mm-hmm. right? There's no one there to explain the cultural differences in the company, what's going on when they see something that feels a little out of place. Mm-hmm. And then there's no one there to really help them in it, to just navigate, mm-hmm. you know, navigate the code, navigate how do I get the equipment I need, how do I,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Parts of what came out of this process, I think we eventually landed on the buddy system after mm-hmm. a number of retrospectives in this area, and I found that extremely helpful for people. It's like someone that you always go to ask yeah. a question, things along those lines. And I thought another thing that was powerful was like the follow-up meetings and mm-hmm. things a lot of that. And so we spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I think it was just really valuable, and that's why I bring it up here.
Yeah, with the follow-up meetings, right, yeah. one of the things that guided that is the one thing a new employee gives you that you just can't get any other way mm. is a fresh set of eyes to what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
and so if we can capture that while they're still fresh, while they're still feeling it,
mm-hmm. yes,
that's when we can make the most change for the best.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, and then before we close out the discussion, I just wanted to talk a little bit about psychological safety in the environment, maybe tips and tricks for promoting that aspect in an environment, and any firm beliefs that you have about that.
Certainly. First, psychological safety, just so that people watching really know what it is, is defined as the ability to take interpersonal risk without fear of consequence, mm-hmm. right? And the interpersonal part is the real important thing about this. You know, when someone makes a suggestion that, you know, they need to feel that they can make that suggestion. But even more so, someone needs to feel, people need to feel that they can add an alternate or add something to it, or say, hey, look, if we do this, there might be this problem. Can we explore that? Mm-hmm. And if people don't have that feeling of safety that they can do this, you lose so much good out of the workplace, because you lose creativity, you lose a drive. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I actually just read an interesting study talking about happiness in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And people who are happy at work and who have feel safety are more intelligent. They're like, I think it's up to 10 IQ points difference in the same person. I mean, that's a significant difference.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, you know, you want to cultivate this.
Yeah.
And so the ways that you can do that, the biggest thing is if you are in a formal or informal leadership position, being ready to admit your mistakes, mm-hmm. and just say, look, I'm sorry, I'm human, I make mistakes, I didn't mean to, mm-hmm. or saying, hey, you know, I thought this was how it was going to be, and it wasn't, like, you know, I should have listened to somebody, mm-hmm. is a really big step forward.
Yeah.
Also inviting people to challenge you. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, you have, I forget who said it, but there was a talk, and they asked, it was a TED talk, and they asked the audience, how does it feel to be wrong? Mm-hmm. Right? How does it feel? And everyone started answering, you know, sad, upset, infuriated. And she just waited, and she waited until it kind of died down. She looks at this. No, when you're wrong, you don't know you're wrong. It feels the same as being right.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And so it's really, one of the most powerful things I've started doing is I get an idea and I think it's correct, I go up to someone and say, tell me how I'm wrong. Tell me how I'm wrong. And not only do I get benefit out of that, it really brings people together, because they can see that I want to hear, I want the feedback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's very insightful. And so,
Yeah, I mean, I think what's cool is that every personality has their different way of kind of showing that vulnerability, right?
Yeah.
So some people like might state it very assertively, like with confidence, but then come around and say like, I want your feedback, because some people have the more style where they'll condition it with like, I'm about to give my opinion here and I'm not certain, and they'll kind of cash in more softer language.
Yep.
And that invites people to give feedback and that kind of thing. But I think the key thing is whatever style you have is you want to make it an environment where people feel not intimidated to give you feedback on what you just said, or do their yes and to what you said.
Yep.
Or, yeah, exactly. And where you're not infallible.
Oh, no, definitely.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to say is there's two heuristics I try to use with this, and I try to cultivate around with people around me. And the first is the assumption of good intent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everyone there is trying to do the best they can with the tools that they have. They really want things to succeed.
Absolutely.
And the last one is the assumption of professionalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? We're humans. We have emotions. We have bodies. We have comfort levels. You know, someone can be hungry, and therefore they're not thinking entirely rationally, but they're trying to be professional. Mm-hmm. They're trying to be mm-hmm. good with their intent. And just think about that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's you saying that almost everything I start with lately has been saying, oh, let's talk about the prime directive first, right? Which is, do you know, offhand, it's like, you assume that they did the best job they could with the tools they had and the knowledge they had.
Yep. And the time they had.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So if you want to close this out, Austin.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on the show, Jason. It was a ton of fun, and hope to keep the conversation going, as I know we will, as we always do with Jason. And
don't forget to like and subscribe and hit the little notification bell so that you get emails whenever we post one of these.
Most definitely. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate being on this.
All right. Yeah. We appreciate having you on the show.
And live from Agile DC, have a good one. See you next time.